John chapter 3, also hold your finger there, go to John chapter 1. I think it's interesting that John began his gospel with "in the beginning." He's wanting to bring the context of his gospel to the forefront. In the beginning, the purpose of his gospel here is to present this thing from the standpoint that from the very beginning, in the very beginning, this thing got messed up. And as a result, Jesus had to come. And he begins to set up. In the beginning, he was the Word, and he was God, and he is God, and he was at the beginning. And then this Word manifested, God manifested onto the earth. And the reason why he came was to restore and to renew and to fix those things that had gone wrong from the beginning. That's why if you look at verse 29 in chapter 1, when John first sees Jesus, it said, "Behold, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world." He didn't say the sins. He said the sin. He came to fix the crack. He came to fix the problem, the fault. Before anything went wrong, he was the Lamb slain. And here John's setting up his book here. He's setting up his gospel. He's saying, in the beginning, this was God. And then God became man. He manifested in the flesh. He was the Lamb to take away the sin of the world. He came that we might have life, and that we might have life more abundantly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life. You see, in the beginning, there was life. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. Because death entered into the world, and when man came on the scene. So John's setting up his book here. He's setting up his gospel and saying, this all went wrong in the beginning, and we had to have a Savior. We had to have a Lamb to take away our sin, to take away our fault. What was our fault? Was it that we do so many things wrong? No. Paul says, when he was writing, I think it's the book of Romans, he said, listen, from Adam to Moses, before the law came, death was reigning. Even though no law had been given at that point. So how can, if no law had been given, how could you say you did something wrong? That wasn't it. Doing stuff wrong was not it. That wasn't the problem. What was the problem? The problem was man was a dead man. Now let's look back. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, asking a legitimate question. How can I get into the kingdom of God? Now, I believe because of the background of Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. He believed that there was more than just this life. And I believe he was coming asking a legitimate question. I can't live the law. He was in the Sanhedrin. He was in the ruling class. The religious leaders were the rulers. He was in that group. They followed the law, although they kind of made up the rules as they went along. And it had gotten to the point that rules were being added and added and added till nobody could keep the law. And Nicodemus knew that. And it had gotten to the place where it's like, can anybody get into heaven? How can a man get into heaven? And Jesus cut to the chase. It wasn't about rules and regulations, or else Jesus would have started laying them out. And Nicodemus comes and says, listen, man, you're from God. Because nobody could do what you do unless they be from God. You are from God, and I recognize that. And if anybody's going to know the answer to my question here, you're going to know the answer to my question. Because I really want to get into heaven. And I believe Nicodemus was sincere, or else Jesus would not have given him the time of day. Because he always knew when they were trying to trap him. And if he knew when people were trying to trap him, and Nicodemus had come to trap him, he would have sent him away with a quick answer. But he didn't. And Nicodemus knew, I can't live this. I want to get into heaven, but I can't fulfill all the rules. And if Jesus, who being from God, he was the only begotten Son. If it was about rules, Jesus would have started naming the rules. If it was about cutting your hair a certain way, if it was about dressing a certain way, if it was about singing a certain way or putting a bonnet on your head or, you know, feathers on your back, or if it was something like that, Jesus would have started naming the rules, but he didn't. Jesus cut to the chase and said in verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water, which is the flesh, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So don't marvel that I said to you that you must be born again. Because Nicodemus had already asked the question. And I don't believe he was trying to argue. Jesus said, you got to be born again. Nicodemus was like, what am I supposed to do? Go back into my mother's womb? I mean, I don't understand this. This is over my head. I mean, I want to get into heaven. I want to be in the kingdom of heaven. I can't live by the rules. And you're telling me it got to be born again. But I can't enter back into my mother's womb. I don't know what you're talking about. And Jesus said, unless you're born of the flesh and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Now, to clarify what happened there, we went back into Genesis and went over the story. And we won't do this today, but I'll just paraphrase unless we have to go back there. But we went back to Genesis and showed where God had made man and woman and put them in the garden, and they were made in the image of God. They were made exactly like God. Their bodies and flesh were made of the ground. God scooped up the dirt and formed his man into what he is. So he used all the elements of the earth to make him. So as far as his structure was concerned, his physical flesh, it was made of the earth. But God did something to man that he did not do to any of the animals or any other creature. He breathed into Adam the breath of life. He gave him a spirit. He gave him a spirit, and that made him alive. And then he's told Adam, he said, go have dominion. We also know Eve was there because he said, and be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Make more of this kind. Fill the earth. So Adam's body was made of the earth, but he had the Spirit of God. He had a living spirit on the inside of this clay body, this earth body. And your bodies are all made up of elements in the earth. They are. Everything, you don't have anything in this flesh body that didn't you can't find in the earth somewhere. It's all elements. It's all here. That's why you take vitamins and minerals to supplement what you're not getting in your food. But what makes you more than that is you have a spirit. And what God told Adam and Eve is you can eat of all the fruit except for the tree that is in the middle of the garden, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't have that. Satan, and I don't have time to go into the verses in Ezekiel and Isaiah where it talks about Satan, how he was the star of the morning and at one time, and he was the worship leader in heaven, and how pride was found in him, and he rose, wanted to rise above, make his throne above the throne of God. He was so enamored with himself. And he was so in love with himself. And he got out of order. So he was cast to the earth. I believe God was giving him a second chance. And even put a tree in there for him to eat of. To sustain him. And if he had lived under the dominion of man and stayed in that order, everything would have been fine for him. But he didn't. Because evil was still in his heart. He wanted to rise above. And what he saw in Adam and Eve was that they were God. They were given dominion over this earth. Dominion. Man was created to have dominion over the earth. But only by the Spirit of God, the living Spirit of God on the inside of him, made him a fit ruler. Because otherwise, you cannot rule with love of self. You can't do it. Because everything will be done for you and you alone. And to support you, because you're everything. But even God doesn't rule that way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And his Son was the Word, and his Word was given. And the Word was God, and was with God in the beginning. And that very Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us and died to save us, to save man. That's how God rules. That's how God rules. Look at how wonderful God is. That he uses his own self to save that which he created. Man was given the opportunity to have dominion over the earth, but Eve was deceived and Adam sinned. And they obeyed the serpent, they obeyed Satan. And to whom you obey, you are that one's slave. And God told him, the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. You'll surely die. He didn't say you might die, you wouldn't die later. He didn't say you'd die later on. He said the day, the very day you partake of that fruit, you will die. And so here comes the serpent, and he starts talking to Eve. And he says to Eve, God doesn't want you to have this fruit. He doesn't want you to take of this tree, because he knows that when you do, you'll become like him, knowing both good and evil. But what Eve didn't understand was they were already like God. They were already like God. There was no need for them to know evil. There was no need for evil to be in their heart. Satan was evil, and he was enamored with himself, and it was all about him. It was all about Satan, Lucifer. It was all about him. That's what evil is. It's whatever it takes to satisfy me. I don't care who I hurt. I don't care who I take from. I don't care any of it. It's all about me and me alone. And that is evil. And Adam and Eve reached out, and it says they looked at that fruit and found it was desirable. They set their eyes on it, and they started looking at it. And this picture of them being like God, what was going on in their minds? God had given them this planet, put them in this garden. Everything was in order. Nothing crossed its boundaries. And Adam was given the privilege of having dominion over it. What was he thinking when Satan said, you can be like God? There had to be a picture painted there that Adam all of a sudden would be like God, and that became desirable. Then evil began to be tempted with evil of, I shall rise above. And it shall be about me. And they reached out and they ate. And on that day, not later on, but on that day, they surely did die. They died. What happened? Well, their bodies didn't fall down lifeless. No, because your body is just made out of the earth. It's just the vessel. It's just the earthen vessel, as it's called in the New Testament. The earthen vessel. It was just made out of the dirt of the ground. But what made Adam significant was the spirit on the inside of him. It passed from life unto death. And on that day, Adam was born again. He entered death from life. God comes down in the cool of the day, says, Adam, where are you? All of a sudden, that life, the life of the Spirit, and that life was the light of men, all of a sudden his light went out. God couldn't find him. Adam and Eve realize, oh, look at here, we're naked. And so they sewed some fig leaves together and hid. And now all of a sudden, Adam and Eve are aware of themselves. Primarily aware of themselves. I'm naked. I don't want to be seen. I don't want my nakedness seen. So they're tying fig leaves together. That's because all of a sudden now they're aware of who they are. They're self-aware. It's all about them now. It's all about them. And they're dead. And God comes around and says, the earth is cursed because of you, Adam. The earth is cursed. Why do people fall down lifeless? I mean, you live your life and at some point, your body dies. Why is that? Because your body is made of the earth and the earth is cursed. Why do the animals die? They didn't sin. Well, their bodies are made of the elements of the earth and the earth is cursed. So now death reigns. The curse of death reigns. And anything made of the earth is going to die. That's why the plants die, the animals die, everything dies. Because it's made of the earth. Now, the resolution plan had to be enacted. You see, before this ever got started, God had a redemption plan already in place. He had a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And so now the redemption plan had to be enacted. And so God looks at the serpent and says, you're cursed. Now you've done it. Now you've done it. You've blown your redemption plan. Now you're cursed. There's no redemption for you anymore. Nothing. The man who was placed on the earth who would redeem Lucifer has now fallen because of you. Now you are cursed. There is no more redemption for you. Did you understand that? That's why there is no redemption for Lucifer. There is no redemption for Satan. And he fell like lightning. He has fallen beyond grace. Because the man that God placed in the earth, who could have redeemed him, Satan caused him to fall. And so God looks at the serpent and says, you are cursed. You are cursed. And your head will be crushed. In the process, you will bruise his heel. But your head will be crushed. You will be completed and destroyed. Never to rise again. That was the first gospel. That was the eternal gospel. But God said it would be the seed of the woman that would redeem man. You see, now man is in that situation. Now, he is dead. And now he needs redemption. Now he needs redemption. Man is fallen. And now he needs to be redeemed. And God said, it'll be the seed of the woman. Why? Because Adam is a fallen man. And the seed of man now is corrupted. Why is it corrupted? Because it cannot give birth to a spiritually alive man. So the seed of man has been blown. It's corrupted. It's worthless now. Because he cannot give birth to spiritually alive offspring. He can't do it. So Adam and Eve begin to have children. But they were spiritually dead. And the fruit of that spiritual deadness showed up right away with Cain and Abel. It's all about me. God took your offering, didn't take mine. I'm going to kill you. And then kills him. And God shows up to Cain and says, What'd you do? Where's your brother? I ain't my brother's keeper. Ain't my job. Ain't about me. I ain't supposed to. I didn't do nothing. Ain't my fault. You see, he's absorbed with himself. And when God points out the truth of the matter, says, I'm sending you over here, Cain begins to cry like a crybaby and says, Oh, how am I going to survive over there? Somebody might find me and kill me. See, it's all about him. Why? Because he's spiritually dead. And that begins to go on and go on and go on. Each generation spiritually dead, and the results of it are showing up. And God comes down in the days of Noah, and it's a mess. Man's heart has been on evil. It's been on himself. He's becoming too much like his master. But Noah, righteousness was found in Noah. And he built an ark and saved his family. But even after they come out of the ark, things begin to go bad again. And then each generation, it just keeps going bad and keeps going bad. God comes down to Moses. He began a new people under Abraham. And Moses comes up and he gives the law. I got to teach you guys how to do right. You guys don't even know how to do right. And gives them a set of rules. Now do this and don't do this. And ultimately, the Ten Commandments gives a simple set of 10 rules. Then the law goes through and starts ordering sacrifices. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no reprieve from the sin. So God institutes some religious laws just to get people to act right. But it will not save, and it could not redeem. Man was dead, but God had a redemption plan, and that was the lamb slain to take away this sin, take away this fault, take away this fracture. Go back to John chapter 3. Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world. God loved the world. The world that was cursed because of Adam. Everybody says, well, God cursed the world. No, he didn't. You go back and read it. It says, because of you, the earth is cursed. Adam cursed the world. He brought this curse. He brought this curse on the world. But God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who was this son? This was the son that he's talking about in chapter 1 when he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is talking about himself. For God so loved the world that he gave God himself, his only begotten son. He gave himself. God so loved the world, he so loved his man, he so loved us. Whatever anybody's name is, nationality, any of that, it doesn't matter. Because he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, he didn't qualify that. He said, whoever. And it doesn't matter what translation, whether it's the Vulgate, the Septuagint, all of the ancient copies of this manuscript, the word whoever is all inclusive. So it didn't matter. It was whoever. God so loved the world and the man that he had created that he himself was going to redeem him. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, who was the word, who was God. I know I'm driving that in, but that's God saving us. That he himself came down to do it. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. All of a sudden, now here's the door open. Now, we've heard this verse read so many times that we forget what he's saying here. Or the impact of what he's saying doesn't really come across. But take that in light of what we just talked about. Man was a dead man. And he's talking to Nicodemus who's saying, I want to know how I can be alive again. I want to know how I can get into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, you got to be born again. Your flesh, you've already been born of the flesh. You're already, you got a flesh body. But it's of the ground that is cursed. And you're a dead man because you don't have a spirit that's alive. You don't have the life of God on the inside of you. Because you were born of the flesh and you were born after the seed of Adam. And that's a corrupted seed. And you're spiritually dead. And you can't change that on your own. You can't change it. You can do all the yoga in the world. You can chant all the things you want to chant. You can go out and kill a goat or a sheep or a dog or whatever. But it's not going to change your situation. Because you got to be born again. But here is the plan that God so loved you that he made a plan and he gave his only begotten son that if you will believe in him, you won't perish. You won't just die and be separated from God forever. But you shall have everlasting life. You can be spiritually alive again. Spiritually alive again. Look at verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God didn't send Jesus to send us to hell. He sent Jesus to save us. Jesus didn't come to give a set of rules that say if you live by this set of rules, you can be saved. Or else Jesus would have named them here. He's saying you can't save yourself. Only I can save you. I'm the only one that can redeem you. And I didn't come here to condemn you. I came here to save you. purpose of my life and my death on the cross is to save you, to give you everlasting life, to give that life that was taken from you by Adam in the garden. And you're already born after the flesh, so you're born just like Adam, spiritually dead. I came to give you that life back. I came to make you spiritually alive. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. To believe on the Son is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. I hear that argument. You mean if I don't believe in God, God's going to condemn me and go into hell? No, you're already condemned. You see, it's already started. You were born after the flesh. You're already spiritually dead. You're on a one-way track there. God didn't have anything to do with that. You're condemned already. You're already dead. Jesus came to give you life and pull you out of that one-way track. I mean, you're on a runaway train and the bridge is out. You're already on that train. Jesus is trying to get you off that train. He's saying, believe on the Son and have life. If you don't believe, Jesus didn't come to condemn you. You're already condemned. You're already cursed. You're already dead. I'm trying to save you. Trying to help you and bring life. I'm trying to redeem you and give you life again, to make you once again spiritually alive. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. What's evil? It's all about me. I'm going to live my life for me. And that's the condemnation. Because you're spiritually dead. And the light has come into the world. Jesus has come into the world. But he's saying men love darkness. They love darkness. They like it being all about them. And that's condemnation. That's saying, I will not come to the light. I will stay in my darkness. I will continue to satisfy me. And I will be my own God. And I will be my own Savior. And I will trust in no one but me. I don't need the sun. And I don't need the light. But that person will die. And they will enter into everlasting death. And it is not God's fault. And they will go unredeemed. And they will go without resurrection. Because they are condemned already. And they will receive the reward of their God, because when Adam obeyed Satan. Satan became his God. And Satan now is condemned and cursed and unredeemable. And he is going to everlasting destruction and death. And everybody that decides that they will not believe on the Son and rejects the light and the life that comes from the Son will follow into that same everlasting destruction as their God. And they're condemned already. And that's where you're going, whether you want to go there or not. Oh, God would throw me in the hell. That means he's not a loving God. Well, no. You could say Satan was the unloving God. Satan was the unloving God. He wanted to rise above the God of this world, which was Adam. And he did. And Adam became a dead man with a dead spirit and gave birth to spiritually dead children. So you come into this world condemned already. And Jesus came into this world to save us, to give us life again, and life more abundantly. Go to John chapter 10. Jesus, he's talking about himself here. Look at verse 7. Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." Here he's using that word saved again. We use it so much it's lost its meaning, but he's saying, if anyone enters in by me, I am the only door to salvation. I am the only door to life. Everybody that ever came before that said, hey, you can be like God, was a thief and a robber. Everybody who ever came before me who said, I am the way to everlasting life and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. They were a thief and a robber. They didn't care about you. They were a thief and a robber. Jesus said, but I'm the door. Nobody can get to life except through me. I am the only door to life. You will go in and out and find pasture. I'm the one that can give you the bread of life, the food of life. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come. Now he's going to define the whole reason why he came. I have come that they might have life. You see, you're spiritually dead. You got to have life again. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Why? Because I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's the problem with man. He was spiritually dead, and he can't have life. He can't have life except through Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the only door to get it. Jesus told Nicodemus, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. I came that you might have life again and that you might have it more abundantly. I didn't come to steal from you. I didn't come to rob you. I came to save you. That's why I came. He's the only door. There's no other door. There was no other who was God, who was able to be slain and be the perfect sacrifice for redemption. Only God could die for us. And God did die for us, that we might be saved, that we might be spiritually alive. That is the gospel. That is the good news. He didn't come to kill us. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to rescue us. He came to redeem us. He came to save us. He came that we might be born again and pass from death unto life and be alive. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what Paul said. I'm not ashamed of that gospel. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I mean, some liniment that you rub on your joints will not change your life. People say it does, but it don't. It just eases up on your joint pain. Jesus will change your life. You will pass from death unto life, and you will be saved. And you are saved. So at least now you know what's happened to you. You have passed from death unto life. You have passed into everlasting life. Once again, the Spirit of God has been breathed into you. And now you are spiritually alive. You remember, God formed Adam from all the... He took him some dirt and he formed Adam. Put him all together. The great design. Everything worked perfectly. Every system in the body worked perfectly. But at that point, he was just another creature. He was just another creature. And God could have sent... The things into motion just like he did with all the animals. And man would have been walking around and lived his life by instinct just like all the animals do. But God did more than that to Adam. He fashioned him from the ground and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He put his own spirit. Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, what did he do to the disciples? He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And maybe the world doesn't understand it and they don't appreciate it. But when someone gets saved and their life goes from death unto life, it is more than just filling out a decision card. Something powerful has taken place. Something more powerful than an atomic bomb. Something that is more valuable in the kingdom of heaven than the entire accumulated wealth of the world. Something great. Amen. I'm done.